We are going to expand our sanctuary. Christ is risen. Early last week, I was with our staff here at Advent, and I asked them, I said, okay, so let's say you're coming to worship here, and maybe you come all the time. Or maybe it's been a long time since you've been to church anywhere. Or maybe you're showing up on Sunday, and you're showing up because your mother just dragged you here. Or maybe you're coming because somebody promised you lunch after this. So no matter what the circumstances, you show up. What do you need to hear on Easter? And there was this pause. And then somebody said that it's not all baloney. And that statement stuck with me for days. And it really cuts to the core, right? I mean, because if Easter really is true, then we're up to something today that's far more important than pastel-colored clothes and dyed eggs. If Easter is true, that means the history of the world has forever been altered. There's been this seismic shift. And what we thought was reality, what we thought was impossible, no longer is. But it is kind of an outlandish story, right? I mean, Wait. So you're telling me that the God who created the universe chose to become this mathematically nonsensical mixture of God and man? Because how can you be fully God and fully man? That doesn't make mathematical sense. So you're telling me that God became fully God and fully man. Then you're saying that Jesus, who had the power to walk on water and the power to raise the dead, you're saying that he chose to submit to mocking, beating, and the cruelest form of capital punishment imaginable? Is that what you're telling me? And then, after being dead on Friday, are you saying that on Sunday, Jesus was raised back to life and he walked with his disciples and talked with his disciples? Come on now. That seems a bit far-fetched, doesn't it? I mean, someone raised from the dead? That's impossible. Now, I admit, it does kind of sound like baloney. It's a lot to swallow, particularly here in 2016 when we have the benefit of modernity and technology and all. To be honest, it was a lot to swallow in Jesus' day too, even for the people who were closest to him. And think about it. Jesus told his disciples ahead of time. He told them what was going to happen before it happened. He said, all right, look, we're going to go into Jerusalem and I'm going to die. I'm going to suffer and then die. And then 3 days later, I'm going to be raised again. Jesus told them that. And still, when they learned the good news of Easter, they still couldn't believe it. But I'll let you hear the story for yourself. This is from Luke chapter 24, and I'll begin reading at verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again? Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths there by themselves. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So here's how I'd like for you to help me this morning. I'd like for you to turn to a couple people around you and deliver this message. The message is, not everything that seems phony is baloney. Can you do that for me? Not everything that seems phony is baloney. The women came to the tomb early in the morning on that first Easter, and they came to anoint the body, and they came to grieve. After all, that's what you do when someone you love dies. You grieve. You visit the grave and grieve. It happens all the time. But what happens next had never happened before. They get to the tomb and they find that the large stone that had been rolled in front of the opening of the tomb, well, that had been rolled away. Jesus' body was gone, and there were these two angels, these men in dazzling clothes, who said, "Why are you looking for a living person among dead people? Jesus isn't here. He's gone. He's raised from the dead." And at that, those women can't wait to get back to the disciples and share this incredible news that they just learned. And when they did, when they got back to the apostles and they started sharing this news, did you notice what happened? Verse 11, Luke tells us, "But these words seemed to the apostles an idle tale, and they did not believe them." Idle tale. That's a really weak translation of the Greek word there. The Greek word is this word, leros. Can you say that with me? Leros. Leros. It's harsher than idle talk. It means garbage or nonsense. And this is the only time in the whole Bible that this word leros is used, because it's not really a Bible kind of word. In fact, instead of idle talk, it's more accurately translated bull whatever. Maybe another way of saying it is baloney. So the disciples hear this report from the women about this empty tomb, and they think it's baloney. That means that it's not just us modern, scientific, enlightened people, people with advanced degrees. It's not just us who hear this story and think, "Wait a minute. Do you really expect me to..." Come on now. Somebody that we watched being taken down from the cross, and we watched his lifeless body being stuffed in a tomb, you expect us to now believe that he's alive? That's baloney. It's impossible. Even the disciples, these are Jesus' friends, people who walked with Jesus and heard his teachings, people who watched him feed 5,000 with just a few barley loaves and a couple of fish, even these guys who watched him raise Lazarus from the dead, they hear this news from the women about the empty tomb, and they think it's leros. It's baloney. It's impossible. Which raises the question, can you believe in things that defy the laws of reason and logic and still be a person of reason and logic? After Egg Venture yesterday, I had lunch with a friend of mine who has a PhD in physical science. He's now the head of the lab at Greenville Hospital System, but when he was in school, he studied physics quite a bit, and I was telling him about this sermon. I was telling him about leros, and we started talking about what's possible and impossible, and here's what he said. "Well, there are lots of things that have been proven in physics that sound like baloney." And then he started telling me all of these quantum things. And, you know, I maybe understood about half of it. My name's not Sheldon Cooper. I didn't get all that stuff. But a couple of things stuck with me. And first is quantum entanglement. Now, some of you may be scientists or physicists, and you may know about quantum entanglement. This has been proven by scientists. If you take two particles that were created at the same time with the same energy, even if you separate those particles from each other, let's say one is here and one is in China, or even farther than that, one is on the other side of the universe, if you do something to that one particle, if you change it, then the other one is also changed instantaneously. Those particles are created at the same time, are quantum entangled in such a way that changing one changes the other instantly. I don't know about you, but to me that sounds like bull whatever. But it's been proven. And another thing he told me was that speed and time are connected. And if you increase speed, you slow down time. That's what he told me. In fact, to prove this, in the 1970s, scientists conducted this experiment called the Haeffel-Keating experiment. And they took atomic clocks, and they put some of these atomic clocks are really precise, and they're all synced up, and they took some of these clocks and put them on an airplane, and the others they put at the United States Naval Observatory. And they took the ones in the plane and flew the plane around the Earth two times. And then they compared the time on the clock. And what they found was that the clocks in the plane had lost time because they were traveling and at an increased rate of speed. If we were able to reach the speed of light, here's what physicists would tell us, there would be no time. If we were able to travel at the speed of light, there would be no past or future. We'd experience everything in the present moment. Are you with me? Does that sound like baloney? It does to me. I'm just saying that maybe we ought to be humble about what we think we know about the universe. Maybe we ought to exercise just a little bit of humility, especially when it comes to things that are possible or what we would call impossible. See, not everything that seems phony is baloney. So just for fun this afternoon, here's what I challenge you to do. Go on YouTube and search Dr. Quantum Double Slit Experiment. Watch that video, and I promise you, you will think that it is baloney. It's crazy. But it's true. Well, back to the Easter story. The women come back to the disciples with this unbelievable news, and they say, we got to the tomb, and the stone had been rolled away, and Jesus was nowhere to be found, and there were these two angels, and they said, Jesus is not here. He's been raised from the dead. He's alive. Now remember, the disciples are like us. They're rational. They're logical. They know the laws of the universe, and you live, you die, you don't come back from the dead. That would be impossible. When you die, you stay dead. It's reality. It's just the facts. I mean, come on, women. Resurrection? That's idle talk. That's nonsense. That's garbage. Leros. But then Luke tells us that Peter wanted to check it out. So verse 12 says, but Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths there by themselves. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. Peter got to the tomb and learned that everything that seems phony is not necessarily baloney. He got to the tomb and his view of reality got shifted. Everything got shifted. Death, life, possible, impossible. They thought they knew how the world worked. You live, you die, you stay dead. It's just the facts. But on Easter, God inserted a new fact. On Easter, God created a way where there was no way. On Easter, God creates life where there was nothing but death in that tomb. And the disciples get to walk with Jesus and talk with Jesus and break bread with Jesus and have a meal with Jesus. They get to see his hands and the scars on his feet. And even then, with Jesus standing in front of them, they still have a hard time believing. They think it's a ghost. Because after all, this is impossible. Right? Wrong. On Easter, reality gets shifted. On Easter, God shatters what we think is possible. God reached into a tomb in Jerusalem, a tomb inundated with the stench of death and darkness, and God brought forth life and light. God took matters into his own hands, defeated death, and assured for all of us victory. Amen? Can you imagine Jesus with his disciples that very first time? I just imagine Jesus showing up and one of them saying, Jesus? Nah, that can't be. It's impossible. And then I imagine Jesus saying, I have been raised from the dead. I'm not really interested in what you think is possible. Well, I wish I could prove Easter to you. That's not in my capacity. Resurrection can't be proven, which is a good thing because if it could be, it wouldn't be all that remarkable, would it? I can't prove it, but I can preach it. And I can believe it. It's worth noting that those disciples who at first were doubtful, they also come to believe it. These are the disciples who in the beginning think that this story that the women told them is, they think it's garbage. But then they come to believe so passionately in the resurrection that many of them end up being tortured and killed because they're going around telling everybody about Easter. Nobody endures torture for Leros. Nobody's willing to die for baloney. But the only way you get these disciples eventually to shut up about Easter, well, you got to kill them. Yesterday, in my conversation with my friend about physics, he said, and I wrote this down, he said, one thing quantum physics teaches us is that nothing is impossible. Now, if I'd been quicker, I'd have said, well, I could have told you that. It's Easter. Christ is risen. Death is defeated. We have hope, and nothing is impossible.